the region of Indonesia that we're hearing about, Aceh, which is spelt, by the way, A-C-E-H, is home to a secessionist movement. It's run by a military government. And until this week, the Indonesians have opposed the entry of non-governmental organizations in the region. For more on what Aceh is like, we've called upon James Clad, former professor of Southeast Asian Studies at Georgetown University, who in that capacity visited Aceh many times. He's now at the National Defense University. James Clad, welcome once again.
Thank you, Robert.
Hearing a lot about coastal towns in Aceh, I wonder if you could just tell us what such towns or villages might be like, what people do there.
It's important to understand that the towns that face east, that is to say into the Straits of Malacca, are very low-lying towns. They only go a couple meters above the straits. Itself is a body of water. On the western side, the Indian Ocean side, the land rises higher, but the point is these are fishing villages very close to the shore, snug on the beach, and therefore really only a matter of a few meters higher than sea level in many cases.
Fishing villages from which people typically go out in boats into the sea? Or?
Absolutely. Most of the fishing in this region tends to be in the hands of small fishermen. They have small craft. Some of them are motorized. Some of them still use something not much bigger than a dugout canoe.
Now, the other reason that we've heard mention of Aceh here over the years, prior to the tsunami, was the insurgency, the war that's been going on there. What's it about?
Well, there's a movement there called the GAM. In Indonesian, they pronounce it Gerakan Aceh Merdeka, which means the Free Aceh Movement. And it has, in varying ways, over many years, been struggling to minimally have a greater degree of autonomy in Aceh and maximally to have an independent state. Aceh was a very ancient sultanate. It was the first part of Indonesia to become Islamic right back in the 8th century of the Christian era. It is also a place where people regard themselves as more devout Muslims, but it also has a very strong sense of identity. So making all that fit in a very big pluralist country like Indonesia has not been easy.
In terms of otherwise ethnicity, language, different from the people in Jakarta or the same?
Well, Indonesians are lucky to have a basic national language, Malay, it was originally. They now call it Bahasa Indonesia. And this is not very different from the local languages spoke in Aceh. It's important to understand, too, that Aceh has different areas and regions, and the closer one looks at it, it's anything but a kind of monolithic, unified area in which everyone speaks the same type of language and has the same attitude to Jakarta. But by and large, one can say that there's a local language and certainly strong traditions that go right back, for example, to the 17th century when the Acehese Sultanate fought pitched sea battles against the Portuguese and sometimes won them. So this is a country with a big sense of its past.
Well, now we've had a horrible natural disaster in the area. And in addition to non-governmental organizations, there's also the Indonesian government and the Indonesian army. Is the Indonesian government generally welcome or unwelcome to people in Aceh?
Generally unwelcome, but it's important not to get stuck in some kind of a comic book caricature of the bad Indonesians against the invariably noble Acehese or vice versa. It is fair to say that the Acehese rebels have fought a pretty tough fight themselves using tactics that range from the usual type of warfare we see to something bordering on terrorism. At the same time, the repression by the Indonesians has been tough.
Is it an area where there is, or at least where there was until the weekend, good infrastructure, roads, electricity, water?
Well, you've really touched on one of the key issues that motivate the insurgency in Aceh. This is a place where some of the largest oil and gas fields are found, where people feel that the benefits of development have escaped them. Some can even point to more infrastructure in the colonial period when there was a functioning railway, but this is no longer operating. And I think it's fair to say that the infrastructure physically in Aceh is way shy of what it could be if those people had even a portion of the natural resources available to them.
James Clad, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Thank you.
James Clad, formerly of Georgetown University, now at the National Defense University.
There's more coverage of the tsunami, including photos, a map, and a list of aid agencies collecting donations for the victims at npr.org. Our coverage of the tsunami continues in a moment. Next, what might be learned from satellite imagery.